So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
And whatever else we think we can really put out there for you. I tell you, it's going to be an interesting night. First of all, Ed Martin is off again tonight, so if you guys want to call in, 858-683-1326 or area code 502-805-0334. Those in the Louisville area, of course, that know that number. For you guys who are already in the listening queue, we thank you. There's always a bunch of you. Just please hit that number one on your dial pad, and we'll know if you want to get on air. It's interesting because I'm sitting here. The reason I say it's going to be an interesting show is because there's just a lot of local stuff going on that I really want to bring up real quick. And then, of course, I know everybody wants to continue talking about how embarrassed this Obama administration should be by the way they've handled this whole Syria thing. And, of course, Barack Obama is taking credit now for the deal that looks like it's going to happen. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But we've got some interesting stories. A father told WDRB News, and you can get this at WDRB.com. As a matter of fact, I'll put the link into the chat room right now. A disturbing story. 15-year-old girl apparently was sexually assaulted, raped. They won't really go into too many details, so we would just say inappropriate relationships. Apparently there were four different police officers. Like, that should be a surprise to anybody these days, right? But apparently there were two state police troopers, from E-Town, a Breckenridge County Sheriff's Deputy, and a Brandenburg Police Officer, all had what is being termed as inappropriate relationships with a 15-year-old girl. The father has now received emergency custody of his daughter. He put her in a treatment facility. At the time of these incidents, she was living with her mother. And I've got to tell you, this is disturbing on a lot of levels. I'm not trying to make light of sexual assault, possible sexual assault, I should say. But you've got four different police officers. who were doing the same thing to this 15-year-old girl, whatever it was. We can only assume sexual assault. You know, we continue to talk about police in this country and how some of them are really getting out of hand. I think this is another example of that. And I think it should be disturbing to anybody that pays attention. I mean, here we have, you know, a minor being assaulted in some form or another by four different police officers. I think that's disturbing. I hope that you think the same way, because this is, you know, we continually see where police officers are abusing their authority and things like that. But what's really even more disturbing here is at least two of these officers are on paid administrative leave. Yep, you heard me right. Paid administrative leave. Now, how that is happening is beyond me. I am still having problems understanding. Anybody that gets in trouble, if there's enough evidence to do anything with it, how these people continue to get paid, I don't understand it. I don't like it. I think it's ridiculous, and I think that we ultimately are the ones paying the price for it, and I think that that's wrong. They should have to pay a great deal with that. If nothing else, as we've mentioned on this show before, if it's so bad that they have to be taken off the streets and taken out of their job, whatever government employee it is, then take their wages and put them in an escrow account. You heard me. Put them in an escrow account, but they should not be able to get paid and be able to take that money and utilize that in their defense or anything else if there was criminal behavior that was so bad it warranted removing them from their job. You know, at the end of the day, if they're proven clean, clear, everything's fine, give them their money. Give it to them in a lump sum. But, you know, I get sick of this kind of stuff, and I hope you do too. I've got to tell you guys, we've got the dumb story of the day, as far as I'm concerned. We wonder what's wrong with education across the nation, but primarily here in Kentucky right now. This is an example of why. The Jefferson County Public School Board, last night we talked about how they were going to be voting on whether or not to allow cell phone use and approve a waiver for seven high schools to allow those high school students to use cell phones. I thought the vote would be close. I really didn't think it would pass. It just defies all logic. And apparently, common sense is what defies all logic with the JCPS Board of Education. Last night, the board voted 7-0, a unanimous vote, to approve waivers to allow students who go to Manual, Iroquois, Fairdale, Seneca, Southern, Ballard, and Wagner and Valley High Schools. They are now allowed to keep their cell phone devices on school property and use them during school time. You know, each school has different variations on what they're going to allow, but some of these schools are going to allow students to use their cell phones all day. All day. Even at lunch and when they change classes. Some aren't. And the kicker is, parents must sign a waiver before a child can use a phone at school. Interestingly enough, apparently the superintendent, Dr. Donna Hargens, seems to be way well behind this. She likes it because, you know, she even went on record as saying that if the approved waivers go well at these eight schools, that they will probably make these changes to other schools in the district. So they're using these eight schools as a test to let kids use cell phones at school. Now, understand, some of these schools are among the worst in the system. They have the lowest school grades. Maybe it's because these guys have been using their school cell phones instead of studying and doing what they're supposed to be doing. I don't honestly know. I do know that if you have a cell phone in school, you're not going to lose out on what's happening on Facebook. You're not going to be able to keep track of your email all day. You're going to be able to text back and forth to your buddy when you should be doing classwork. You know, and of course these principals at these schools are saying, well, we can use that as a tool. Okay, fair enough. And what about those kids who don't have cell phones? And believe it or not, there's a lot of them out there. So is this setting the stage for Jefferson County Public Schools to supply cell phones for each high school student? Is that what we're doing now? We're going to provide the cell phones and pay for the usage? Is that what we're headed to? I mean, let's face it. We already pay for a lot of computers for some of these kids, these laptop computers in some classes and stuff. That's not our responsibility or our obligation. So I'm trying to understand what the end game is here. This is one of the stupidest decisions, in my opinion, that I have ever seen for JCPS. We're complaining constantly because these kids are on their cell phone not doing their work in school. Now we're going to say it's okay to have a cell phone. Who's going to do the schoolwork? I think it's ridiculous. I really do. And I think that somebody needs to stand up and say so. And I'm doing that. This is dumb. Dumb. But what do we expect from a bunch of people who haven't got a clue what it takes to educate the youth anymore, and we continue hiring people that don't have a clue either to run the whole show? This is why you need to disband the Board of Education. Totally get rid of it. Get rid of the JCPS Board of Education. Dismantle it. Dismember it. See you later. Ta-ta. What we should have right here is we still need a superintendent, so keep Donna Hargens. And let Donna Hargens and Mayor Greg Fisher make all the decisions that the school board typically makes now. Let the mayor and the superintendent make those decisions. Forget having to have 7 elections for different school board members. We've got an election for the mayor who's going to hire the superintendent. And if that superintendent doesn't do the job and produce results, we can hold the mayor accountable, can't we? But we've got way too many people involved in this scheme, and I tell you, it is really beginning to get comical the more I see of what's going on. We have got to quit this. We have got to quit with the JCPS buying or allowing cell phone use in the middle of class, and now we're setting a stage where if 3 people in one high school class have a cell phone and the rest don't, then that gives them a so-called unfair advantage. If they truly want to use these cell phones so that these kids can research and use the internet, which is a joke. We know they're not doing that. But if that's going to be the lie, then you're going to have to find a way to make sure we can provide a cell phone for every other child to do the same thing so we've got equal opportunity. This is a public school. And that's the end game. That's where this is so stupid. Because they're going to end up trying to buy a cell phone for every kid that we're going to pay the daggone usage for every month. And we're going to think that we're doing something to improve education when, in fact, we're doing completely opposite. Because kids today don't know what education is all about anyway. Not in Kentucky. This is disturbing. Real quick, anybody that knows anything about Louisville, Kentucky has probably heard of Knob Creek Gun Range. Anybody else that knows anything about Knob Creek Gun Range knows that the Sumner family has owned this thing forever. You can go to Biff's Gun Sales up on Dixie Highway and buy weapons, ammunition, or anything else, and then go on out to Knob Creek Gun Range, which is close to West Point, right off 44, and the Sumners own that as well. And anyway, for those of you who don't know, last year they had a reality TV series focused on the Sumner family called Guntucky. I can only tell you this. I watched one episode of it. For me, it was fun watching the people I know, like Biff Sumners and his family and stuff like that. For me, it was fun seeing it on TV. But at the same time, I thought it made Kentucky look like a bunch of backwood country hillbillies that we're always accused of doing. And from what I gather, a lot of people contacted me because they know I know Biff. And from what I gather, a lot of people were laughing, saying they couldn't believe that thing was able to get on TV. Well, if you couldn't believe it last year, believe this. Guntucky just got renewed for a second season. It will be put on CMT next year for their second season, so get ready for that. Congratulations, Sumner family. You guys are a trip. On to serious news. According to the Courier-Journal, Metro Councilman Ken Fleming had went ahead and decided to do a study on what a 1 percentage point sales tax in Louisville would do. As we know, Greg Fisher has been trying everything he can to get a 1% increase in the sales tax in Louisville. And according to the study, a 1% sales tax in Louisville will raise about $138 million, which is almost twice as much, actually 45%, almost twice as much, or half as much. And this is according to a University of Louisville study that Metro Council Kim Fum had done.
Now, everybody's going to look at that and say, $138 million in new money, and we don't want new taxes. I understand that. But here's why it's a bad idea. Because according to this University of Louisville study, the findings also included the fact that, yes, guess what? Louisville has a higher tax burden compared to all of our peer cities. And it's going to be even higher if we add that 1% local sales tax. You don't say. Isn't that something that we have been telling the whole world forever? Everybody across this nation, when you start talking about Louisville or Kentucky in general or relocating here, bringing jobs and business, the first thing they tell you is no, because of high taxes. The taxes are out of control. Now we want to add 1% to that. Louisville has the highest income tax among all its peers. So we're not talking about just the overall tax burden, which would include sales tax and everything. We have also have the highest income tax. So the money you make is taxed larger than anybody else we compare to. So when you start looking at all of this, then you have to start really asking the question, why do we need to put out more money? We can't even use what we've got effectively. And there are some other things that I think are interesting, because this is something that we actually talked about too. Many people have talked about fair tax or finding a different way to tax and things like that. And according to the University of Louisville study, sales taxes actually are more popular than income and property taxes. Okay? So if we look at that, that actually falls in line with what many of us have been saying for a long time as well. Get rid of our income tax, get rid of our property tax, let's go to consumption tax, call it a sales tax. Sales taxes are paid to the people who go out and purchase goods and services and everything else. Guess what? You're consuming goods. That's a consumption tax. If you want to get rid of my income tax and get rid of my property taxes, great. I will give you your 1% sales tax and give you $138 million a year. I really will. I've got no problem with that. But you're going to have to break off something else and give me a net benefit, because you're already taking too much. So we've got to really start looking at this. One of the worst things out of it, I guess, is one of the other things that the University of Louisville study said was that most states to have a local option sales tax that allow governments or local governments to have this local option sales tax, they use that tax money and put it into general fund and or projects. The general fund is a ghost term. For those of you who hear that term and they don't know what it means, all general fund is a pool of money. You throw all of this money into one pool and you use it whichever way you see fit. If somebody gets screwed over here, who cares, because you saw fit to use it over here. We have way too much discretionary spending in this city. The mayor has way too much control on the money and where it goes. This Metro Council doesn't really do as much as we think they do, or as much as they should do, to get control of spending. So if we're going to continue raising money, and they want to go with this local option sales tax, then I also believe that it should not go to a general fund. The local option sales tax, if they want to go with that, all right? Now remember, I'm not advocating for this unless they take away income and property taxes. But if they're going to go with that, everything else, then we need to have that money put to where it's going to do the most good. Not have it tied up in a general fund where they can rape and pillage and ponder and take anything they want to out of it. So that's something interesting to look at too. And we also have, you know, since we're talking about taxes and money, let's talk about the KFC Yum Center. Apparently, the KFC Yum Center, Arena Authority officials, want to shrink the size of the 6 square mile special taxing district surrounding the downtown KFC Yum Center by at least 2/3. You heard me right. They say that if they shrink the size of this taxi district by 2/3, then guess what? They're going to make more money to pay off the Yum Center debt. According to Jim King, the Metro Council president, he has said that if we do this, with a slimmer, more profitable taxing district, will bring in about $1 million more in tax revenue every year. As we now know, those revenues that have been projected have been completely screwed up, as we said they would back in 2006 before they ever went down this road, when they were still in discussion. We told them the financing plan was a joke, the location was a joke, and it would never be affordable. And we've been proven right so far. Last year, the 10th district brought in about $3.5 million. But when they went to build, when they sold the bonds to build the arena, they told the whole world that it would bring in $8.3 million in 2012. That was a lie. We didn't even get half of that. In 2011, it brought in $2.2 million, when it was supposed to bring in $6.7 million. Now, why is this important, and why are we talking numbers? Here's why we're talking numbers. Because every dollar that they come in short, we have to make up. Louisville Metro government, our tax money, has to make it up. Under the arena deal, Metro government is forced to pay $6.5 million a year minimum to help the arena pay off its debt. We're supposed to pay a maximum of $9.8 million a year to help the arena pay off its debt if they fall short of the revenue goals. We have paid a maximum last year, and we're going to pay it again this year. It's already been budgeted that way, because the arena is not making money. They have already went into the maintenance funds and started taking money out of the maintenance funds to start using for overhead and cost. They've had no choice. They've had no choice. So we've got to start paying attention to even more of this, folks, because, you know, now we're going to shorten or downsize the TIF district. And Jim King, now he's an accountant, he's supposed to know, says that this is going to make us more money. And the reason they say it's going to make more money is because, according to the state revenue officials, we've lost millions of dollars of revenue each year because the district was just so large. Now, I'm trying to understand that. How can the district be so large that you're losing money on special taxes? Now, according to this article at Courier Journal, and they use this as an example, Bowlin Maloney Lumber used to be located at 513 East Main Street. In 2008, after everything was already set up for the arena, they consolidated with another company and moved to Collins Lane in eastern Jefferson County. So that took them out of the district. So because of that, they lost tax money, TIF district financing tax money. Well, this is what puzzles me, because essentially, I get the fact that you're going to lose money. If the business moves out, you don't get any money. There's nothing to get from the business, so you lose all the business taxes. The property loses value if it sits vacant, supposedly loses value. So if you have a property down there that's worth $100,000 and it goes vacant, and it sits for a year, it may only be worth $80,000, so even property taxes are supposed to be lowered. It doesn't happen in the real world, not with Tony Lindau or the Democrats in charge of the PBA. But how this thing is going to make us more money, this is nothing to me more than another setup of gimmick financing to try to make us act like we've got something that we don't have. It's hilarious that the things are that bad, that we've got to try to lie to the people here in Louisville about it. Once again, I don't get it, but apparently we like to be lied to. I don't know any other way to put it. So we'll find out more going forward. That's it for the local stuff. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we will switch into some national issues, including Syria, maybe a little bit on Obamacare. You might be surprised, so stick around. We'll be right back. Listen to the Ed Sprinkle Show right here on the MDM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
We're still having a little sound problem, so we switched to a headset, and hopefully that will fix that for now. And we are, believe it or not, folks, working on upgrading technology and everything up here. We've got a great setup. I don't understand what the problem has been lately. I do know that BTR has been having some signal problems, and maybe that's got something to do with it. I don't know. But in the meantime, we've got a show to do. And with that in mind, you know, we spent the first part of the show looking at the local issues and things like that. I want to get back into Syria. We have to do this. We really don't have a choice. And I'll tell you why, because right now, you know, it's been said that Vladimir Putin is a chess genius. This guy loves to play chess. And he's always thinking a couple of moves in front of everybody else. And this Syrian situation, guess what? Barack Obama just lost a game of chess. When in the world has it ever gotten to the point where Vladimir Putin comes out as a hero, and we look weak and insignificant? Because that's exactly what's happened with this latest deal. For you guys who don't know,
John Kerry was running his mouth the other day, let his mouth overload his butt. You know, he was asked point blank, well, what will it take to avoid a bombing in Syria? And John Kerry was just screwing around and made a statement, well, if Assad would go ahead and give up all his chemical weapons, then we wouldn't have to bomb him. Well, lo and behold, you know, nobody expected that to be a serious statement. But then enter Vladimir Putin. He goes to Syria and makes the deal. President Assad of the Syrian government has said, hey, guess what? Sure, we'll give you all our chemical weapons. Let Russia oversee it. No problem. Where you had France and the U.S. were actually going to bomb Syria. Well, the U.S. was going to bomb Syria. France always jumps on our coattails. And the whole world was angry about it, didn't want it to happen. John Kerry makes a haphazard remark that nobody really thought was serious, and it became the perfect opportunity to put egg on the face of Barack Obama and his military agenda to bomb Syria. We look like incompetent fools. And it's largely because, once again, the Obama administration got caught lying. Yep, you heard me. Got caught lying about evidence of who used chemical weapons in Syria. We had the rebels who had flat out admitted that they were the ones that have used it in media outlets all over the world, but not in the United States. No, our media is bought and owned and controlled by the administration and liberal left. That's the truth of it. You don't have to like me for saying that. But the liberal left, in my opinion, owns Fox News as well, because Fox News isn't doing the job they should be doing either. So don't sit here and think that it's a Democrat-Republican thing. No, it's the Uniparty controlling the media. In my opinion, we have state-controlled media these days. Now, that sounds kind of absurd in America. What about the right of free speech and the First Amendment and all these other things? The media gave up on that a long time ago in mainstream. That is why people come to this show. That is why they go to LouisvillePolitics.com. And that is why they go to all these other alternate sources online. The internet is the most powerful tool created in the last 50 years. It really is. Because people no longer have to sit back and take what's force-fed to them by mainstream media. That's why mainstream media is losing money hand over fist. You think I'm wrong? I'm not. If you look at advertising dollars are a very good example. They portray a very good picture of what's really going on and where people are actually going to pay attention to. Because advertisers don't want to waste their money. They want to spend money getting people to buy their products so they can make money. By the end of 2011, internet advertising dollars were $36.6 billion that year. They were number two. You heard me, number two. Broadcast television advertising dollars was $39.6 billion. That means internet closed the gap and beat all the competition to become number two behind broadcast television by only $3 billion a year in advertising revenue. And that number was set to go up in 2012 and 2013. I don't have those figures yet. But I can tell you this. The next one closest to the internet was cable television. They ran third at $32 billion. Magazines at $22 billion. Newspapers dropped all the way down to $19 billion. Radio has dropped all the way down to $16 billion. And everything else is incidental. That's why people are going to the internet, because we're getting our stories from everywhere. We're not just getting them from right here in mainstream media, right here in mainstream America, because we know that we're going to be lied to. We've gotten used to that. You want another great example of what we're being lied to about? Again, we talked about the chemical weapons were used by Syrian rebels, not Assad over in Syria. Assad has already went on record with Putin and everybody else in less than 24 hours. Said, yeah, take all the chemical weapons you can find. We'll give them to you. You get to oversee them. You get to dismantle them. Do whatever you want. Not doing us any good. Guess what? You're not going to do that. If you got some way to prove yourself, and those are going to be your equalizer. It's just not going to happen. Today, we had another report come out. Belgian teacher Pierre Piccinin. An Italian journalist, Domenico Quirec, were both captives by the Syrian rebel forces right inside of Syria. The Syrian rebels captured these two guys. They finally got released. The Syrian rebels finally released these guys. And now they're going out telling everybody that this attack, this chemical attack in August, was not done by Syria. The Syrian rebels were bragging while they were in captivity that they were the ones who set it off and were laughing because the U.S. was blaming the Syrian government and was going to aid the rebels by bombing the Syrian government. Go to the OstermanReport.com. I'll put that in here for you. That's crazy, guys. That's nuts. This administration is still out there trying to convince the world that the Syrian government are the ones who use chemical weapons, and there has not been one credible report anywhere that backs them up. Here's another thing from the Ulsterman Report. You're going to like this. The Ulsterman Report has a guy they call Republican Insider. They will not identify their source. And I thank them for that, because they shouldn't identify their source. But this Republican Insider told the Ulsterman Report, we paid attention to that here at Louisville Politics, a while back, that this was the way that it was going to go down. Nobody believed him. And he sent a note to the Republican Insider, sent a note today to W, and said, wanted to let you know the president and the entire administration were dealt a debilitating blow, not only regarding the ability to broker deals with Republicans in this situation, but also within their own party. Democrats are openly stunned at how bad this Syrian thing played out. They can't believe the White House is so clumsy and off message, and there are jokes about Kerry going off all over the place. See, even our own government, our own leaders, know that it's laughable what Obama, this idiot, is doing and putting Kerry out there on the front of it. It's even more funny because Obama actually went out. John Kerry made this off the cuff remark the other day that is now being played out and making the U.S. look like fools. And even Barack Obama went out this afternoon and said, yeah, I did that. John Kerry didn't. I told Putin that the other day when we had a private meeting for 20 minutes. I told him that the other day, and then I told John Kerry to go out and sell that and see what kind of bite we could get on it. So never wanted to miss an opportunity. Obama, you know, did this as well. He's the good guy here. What a joke. What a joke. And the problem is we all know better. We all know better. That's it. There's no way Obama can spin it. So that's pretty interesting. And always late to the game, but better late than never, I guess. Mitch McConnell decided he was going to come out earlier today and said he would not support a military strike on Syria. His justification was that there was no indication it would change the conditions there and it could, in reality, make them worse. So Mitch McConnell finally jumped on the game and said, I'm not going to support this bombing of Syria. Why did he wait till now? Because, you know, let's face it, even Mitch McConnell, you know, Mitch McConnell is a political opportunist. Once Russia started brokering this deal for Assad to give up all the Syria's chemical weapons and be accountable for what they have, it's an easy fit for everybody in the Congress to say, oh, no, we don't want to go bomb Syria. No, it's the wrong thing to do. Now they all come out looking like heroes, the ones who hadn't been on record yet anyway. What's even more laughable is I'm curious to see if Obama, in his infantile way of thinking, decides to bomb Syria anyway. Anyway, because there's a couple of things that happen here. Congress can now do one of two things. They can vote yes to support bombing in Syria, thinking that it won't happen because of this new deal that's being brokered as we speak. So they're thinking the chances of bombing are slim to none, at which point Barack Obama goes in and bombs Syria anyway, and then it comes back on Congress and makes all of them look like fools, so you're not sure how to go with that. And the second part of it could be that Congress is going to go ahead and vote no because it's an easy vote to make now that the situation is de-escalating so quickly, and then Barack Obama looks like a bigger fool than he already is, so he's going to get his feelings hurt and goes and bombs him anyway so he can try to act like he's in control. A lot of people believe one of those two scenarios is going to happen, and Syria is going to get bombed either way. A lot of people believe that. You know, I don't know if they're going to get bombed or not. But both of those scenarios are quite logical based on what we've come to experience.
over the last few years. You know, and McConnell did say one thing. He says, I've never been an isolationist. You know, and at a vote against this resolution shouldn't be confused by anyone thinking that I'm turning into that direction. He's right. He's never been an isolationist. McConnell has no problem going out and voting to bomb people because his defense buddies are going to get paid and he's going to get his lobby money. But he's also right that we have nothing to gain in Syria. There's no reason to be there. What he's wrong about is not coming out before now. What he's wrong about is waiting for the most political opportune moment to do this. Mitch McConnell would have gained a lot more respect if he'd have done this a week ago, 2 weeks ago, as everybody else was doing, instead of waiting to see which side the winds were going to shift to. Because no matter what his stance would be, any potential competition he has in his 2014 reelection bid is still going to be nullified. Because as we said last night, Allison Lundigan Grimes ain't got the sense God gave a goose. That's a Kentucky term for you folks who are listening around the country and around the world. She don't. She can't answer a simple question of whether we should go to Syria or not when she was asked two different times by a reporter. Because she is nothing more than a robotic figurehead for the Democratic left liberal machine who has not one ounce of integrity in her body or ethics in her body, or she would have been out on the board already. So he's not really got any competition for his seat, and that's going to play back against her, I'm sure. So he should have taken the high road and done it, but he didn't. I do know who's advising now, and I think they're doing a lousy job, but they need to get better about it. To tell you how it really is going right now, HuffPo, liberal source, according to Foreign Minister Waleed Al-Mualim, he stated that Syria welcomed the Russian proposal, which called for Syria to place its chemical weapons under international control and for the weapons to be destroyed. Now, this happened yesterday. That's what we're talking about. Everybody knew yesterday that this was going to happen this way. So Mitch McConnell coming out of the woodwork is a waste of time. But it's really fascinating that Obama got caught because Kerry thought he was going to be a smartass, and it burned on him. And when you look at the whole scheme and the big picture, nobody can deny that Vladimir Putin played a great game of chess. Obama wants to take credit for this proposal that Kerry put out there, which wasn't a proposal at all. And if you notice, Putin is being really, really silent on this whole issue. He's not even confirming or denying that he had this conversation with Barack Obama, that Barack Obama is saying that they had. And he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. Because now Russia is no longer beholden to us or having to worry about what we're going to do. Guess what? We're now beholden to Russia. Putin just made Obama look like a daggone junior high school student. So, Putin is basically going to be the negotiator on anything going forward on anything, whether that includes Iran, China, I don't care. He's going to be the negotiator because he just proved he knows how to play the game. And Obama looks silly. I don't know, folks. I don't know. It's a major problem for me. Let's go to the phones. This is incredible. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Mayo. Putin's been playing checkers and Obama's still playing chess. That's part of the problem. I don't know other listeners' thoughts, but to me, we shouldn't even be there. There's no direct proof either way, whether it was the rebels or the Syrian government yet. At one point, there was two different Associated Press reporters that had either posted a story or said that they were told by rebels that they were the ones that had set off the weapons. So
there's no
why
doubt about it.
All the, I can't even say it, hubba baloo.
Well, I'm totally with you there, Mayo. I mean, I really am, because, I mean, that's always been the problem. Nobody in Syria's government, as a matter of fact, aside the Syrian government, has been blatantly denying that they ever used chemical weapons on their own people,
the Syrian rebels, you know, who had asked for anonymity in the two AP reports you're talking about, the rebels who had asked for anonymity, I think one of them uses the term J and the other one used the term F, like an anonymous missile, you know, had said point blank that the chemical weapons that shot off was an accident. The chemical weapons were sent to them by Saudi Arabia, once again, our allies, right? That our allies are giving the Syrian rebels these chemical weapons, and they mishandled them and didn't do it right, and that's when it went off. You know, they had nothing to gain or lose by that. I mean, if this was something like a bin Laden and Al-Qaeda trying to take, you know, credit for 911 or something, you brag about it. You know what I mean? Yeah, we did it. We started to teach them a lesson. Not, man, we didn't mean to. It accidentally went off. You're very apologetic about it. So, you know, that's the whole thing. So it wasn't like these guys were trying to intentionally take credit and create confusion, which makes their reports even more credible than our own administration. Would you agree with that?
I'll agree. Just, like I said, it just boggles the mind, the whole tail wagging the dog thing, or is this, you know, another attention getter to, you know, from the things that are being released about Snowden, the NSA caught spying on the president of Brazil, the president of was it Peru, other countries, China, Korea, et cetera. The EU has even talked about banning American cable companies from having internet service over there right now because of the NSA thing, which will be, you know, a lot of loss of income for them. But yet that's not being reported a lot in the mainstream media.
Well, quite frankly, there's not much being reported in the mainstream media, as we talked about a few minutes ago, because, you know, mainstream media, this to me is nothing more anymore when it comes to our media in the United States, and it really kills me to say this, because there's nothing free about it, but the media here has become the state-controlled media, like we used to accuse the Russians, the Chinese, and everybody else of having. We are fast down the road becoming state-controlled media, because our media doesn't care about the truth anymore. We even have a former Emmy Award-winning journalist with CNN who left CNN because they were trying to censor her reports, and they were censoring the reports because it was painting the Obama administration in an unfavorable light, because Obama was paying CNN to do stories that made him look good. I mean, she went on record, public record, telling the whole world that CNN was being paid for positive stories about the president from Obama himself. So, and people miss that. I don't get it, Mayo. I really don't. And what's really fascinating here is now Putin has become a world leader, and Russia has become a world leader, and the United States has just dropped further down the ball. I mean, you look back at history. Let me ask you this. You remember 1969, right, and the U.S. Embassy in Tehran? And
yes.
We sent helicopters over the desert. They got all gummed up from the sand and everything else and went down. It was pathetic. We were supposed to be
the big. Yeah, forgot to use dust filters on the attack helicopters.
Right. Yeah, we were supposed to be this big war machine that could do anything anywhere, and we came off looking like we were the weakest country in the world. It looked like we basically surrendered because they had no clue what we were doing. Well, that's exactly what this is. Obama just basically surrendered because he had no clue what he was doing. He had no plan at all. No plan at all. And what's fascinating is, I mean, what kind of reception do you think we're going to get in the Middle East going forward? I mean, we know throughout history that everybody, the Brits on down, all the way back to the 1600s, everybody has tried to take control of the Middle East and get the Middle East, you know, calmed down and everybody treated equally and, you know, kumbaya and stuff. And nobody's been able to do that. We've been trying that for a lot of years now. We decided we would be the next one to try it. We're the next big, bad dictatorship that can get the Middle East straightened out, and we can't do it. And now we're being run out of Syria with our tail between our legs. Not run out of Syria, but we're being run out of the national stage in the Middle East with our tail between our legs because of, once again, failed leadership. How weak do we look right now?
Well, I mean, the term today would be, you know, facepalm. I mean, it's so stupid, so ludicrous, there's so idiotic, you can't believe that somebody who is, you know, the media has claimed is so smart and so intelligent and everything else could, you know, do this. And that's why I said, you know, Obama's playing checkers, Putin's playing chess. You know, to go back to the reporting and everything, I believe, you know, either Dell had said it or I'd sent it to you one time before. I mean, there's six men basically who own all the media. And back in, what was it, after the, was it William Randolph Hearst who used to own all the newspapers, the big magnate, or somebody else?
Right.
But, I mean, that's why they passed the law. There could be no monopoly on over X amount of, you know, newspapers, radio stations, TV, et cetera. And nowadays you have six companies which own everything.
Right.
You know,
and that's
so
exactly
of
it.
Course they're going to get paid for, you know, doing what their boss wants.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, even on a local level, if you look at Clear Channel, for example, right here in Louisville, you know, they own all kinds of frequencies on radio and everything else that they never use. They're not going to use. They have no anticipation of using. But they own the frequencies on the radio so nobody else can. If you want a certain frequency that's not being used at all, then they want to charge, you know, somebody, let's say me, for example. They want to charge me $1 million to buy that frequency from them, knowing damn well that I'm not going to have $1 million to do it. So they control the market that way, and that's how these big places do it. We need to find a way to get into the FCC and make that a more level playing field. It's a use-or-lose kind of a deal, but I don't see that happening. You know, so what's going to happen tonight?
Yellow cab get, I mean, huh? Well, I mean, what you were saying, I mean, based on that, then, like what happened with Yellow Cab, they used to buy up all the tax licenses, and then finally they said that, you know, they weren't using them, and the state made them, or the city made them sell them or made them come up.
Sure. Sure.
So it should be the same way.
Oh, I totally agree with
you. The same
thing
should
happen. Well, you have to have. I mean, you know, right now what you've got is you've got a monopolistic situation. You know, they broke up Microsoft. They broke up Ma Bell. You know, there's all kinds of things that have been broke up because of monopolies. And yet, you know, when it comes to communications, you know, we want to continue to allow that monopoly so that we can control it. And that's the problem. It really is. But that's what makes it great about the Internet right now, and that's something we've been talking about too, is how come the Internet right now has become number two behind broadcast TV for ad dollars, because these businesses are starting to understand that's where people are going for information. If you want to see how communications work and see where people are really getting their news from, just follow the ad dollars, because they're no longer spending it on cable TV, radio, print, all these other things. They're spending it on broadcast TV. They're spending it on Internet and online advertising. You know, websites like I've got at LouisvillePolitics.com. And by the way, if you folks want to advertise there, please give us a call, 502-742-8519, or write to me direct at MyViewMatters@AOL.com, and we'll give you an ad price that you can live with. This will work with your budget. But, you know, I mean, that's where it is. The Internet is getting all the ad dollars now because everybody understands we're going to go to the alternate sources to get this. Let me ask you this real quick before I run out of time. You know, Obama is scheduled to address the nation at 9 o'clock tonight. Now, this was scheduled before John Kerry opened his mouth, got caught being a smart aleck, and now the whole thing is twisted around where we're not going to be able to bomb Syria if we do, and Barack Obama is still, I think, hell-bent determined to do that. If we do, we will become the world's enemy outwardly, not inwardly, like we are in a lot of places right now. But he's expected to address the nation tonight at 9 o'clock. What do you think he's going to say? Are you there, Mike? Ah, looks like we lost Mayo, man. He dropped off. He's on his cell phone, I guess, so that's cool. What do you guys think he's going to say? Because according to the New York Times, they've got a story they just put out a little while ago. It says, that President Obama, you know, was supposed to use the speech tonight to outline his case for leading a military strike against Syria. Now that that hasn't happened, now they're projecting that he's going to sit out there and take credit. He's going to sit out there and take credit that because we threatened the military action, that is what created the opening, and that's what it is to be a strong president. And because we threatened to bomb, that this created this diplomatic opening. He's not going to actually tell the whole world that John Kerry spoke out of his butt. So when we look at this, that's what's expected. But we all know he's going to do that. So the question really becomes at this point, is he believable? And based on everything else that's happened with this administration, I really truly hope that mainstream network television doesn't spend a lot of time on this tonight. I really do. I mean, I'll give you an example. I can't stand shows like America's Got Talent and that kind of stuff. They appeal to the cheapest, smallest minds that I've ever seen. When you start getting into reality TV shows or America's Got Talent, Dancing with the Stars, all that stuff. To me, that's not good entertainment. But that's the fluff that we're forced to deal with on TV. Now, I've got to tell you this. With that being said, I will sit there and watch America's Got Talent
or even Jersey Shore, and I've never seen it before in my life. I would rather watch those shows than to watch this president open his mouth on a national stage to tell me anything. To tell me anything. That's how bad it really is. I don't think that there is any respect for President Obama around the world. And if people in America would get over the fact that he happens to have an outward appearance of being a black man, because we both know he's as much white as he is black, but the white people won't claim him, and the black people are starting not to, thank God. But if we would get over that skin color situation and look at everything he's done and plans on doing, I think most of America would realize that he's not the right guy for the job. You know, so we need to start looking at that in a broader scheme. I will leave you with this. The New York Times actually did a poll, and it says, do you think that the U.S. should or should not take a leading role in trying to solve international conflicts? 34% said we should. 62% said we should not. That should tell you a lot there. You know, the next question, should the U.S. try to change a dictatorship to a democracy when it can, or where it can, I should say, or should the U.S. stay out of other people's affairs? Guess what? 72% said the U.S. should stay out of other countries' affairs. And finally, the last question they asked was, do you think the Obama administration has clearly explained what the U.S. goals are in Syria, or haven't they done that yet? 79% said he has not. So, if we've got roughly 80% or close to 80% that says Barack Obama is basically wrong and he doesn't know how to tell us anything, why is it that he gets reelected, or why is it that he has any backers at all? I don't know. I'll leave that for you guys to decide. That's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here, with Dale the Truth at 7. He will be here as usual. And then don't forget Thursday night's TNT show with Dale the Truth at 7 p.m. And our good friend Kim Moman with Liberty Unbridled on Sunday nights at 7 as well. In the meantime, have a good 24 hours. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.
relaxing with a hot chick and a cold beer on a warm day. Some way, I gotta make it happen, cause a dollar is worth nothing if you ain't got more to stack it in. Some say, the facts don't lie, but my pockets are empty, my stomach's rumbling and my mouth is dry. Some say, others pass by, but it's the ones that pass away that make us wanna stay alive. And so, I say, I cannot die, not why people rely on me to provide. And yes, I may stray from time to time, but my past always brought me back around to see the brighter side. I pray rainy days will stay away, because my umbrella is broken and the sunshine never saves. And so I lay my heart into every line, because without emotion I'm promoting nothing but these rhymes.
I know it's hard for you.